is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Crispy is scheduled to join us in 30 minutes, and it looks like the NFL owners have approved the terms of the new collective bargaining agreement, and now they need the Players Association to ratify the agreement. And everybody's treating that, Floyd, like it's really that big of a deal. To me, it's not a big deal until the players ratify the agreement. And then it's really not a big deal until we find out what it is that they agreed to, and then it becomes a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal from the standpoint that it's getting started like this so early.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have no idea what the players, I think I read they're going to get together Friday and vote. So, you know, maybe you'll get a better idea. But the thing that is really, really exciting about this whole thing is that, you know, the league and the union have been through these shutdowns and lockouts and strikes and whatever else. And I think they've all learned, which is nice. And they've all said, hey, wait a minute now. We've done that. That did not work out too well for us. So let's try to not have that happen again. And I think there's so much money involved for both the players and the teams that they're saying, well, you know what, we're just not going to risk losing that much money. I mean, that's why the players caved in last time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're playing 16 games and you're getting paid, you know, $16 million over a season. So every week you don't go to work, you lose $1 million. That adds up pretty fast, huh? And mama starts saying, hey, wait a minute now. What are we going to retire on? You know, what's left out there? So it just has never worked. And I think maybe both sides have really, really smartened up and said, hey, let's get this thing done.
Okay. So Derrick Henry, we all know the comments he had on Bussin' with the Boys podcast when asked about Tom Brady, basically saying, what's wrong with Ryan Tannehill? Henry showing his support for Ryan Tannehill, that has become a big topic this week. Of course, it led off Jared and the GM 2 days ago, so we were a little bit ahead of everybody with that being a big topic. And unlike some radio hosts here, we didn't go opining on it without actually listening to it. You know, saying, hey, I haven't listened to it, but here are my thoughts on it. But Stephen A. Smith has decided to weigh in on the thoughts about Brady and Tannehill. And Stephen A. was asked about Derrick Henry's comments supporting Ryan Tannehill. Here's what Stephen A. said.
I think it speaks more to Derrick Henry's character than his smarts. Mm. Let me explain. Derrick Henry is a stud, and I get all of that. But what Derrick Henry is not realizing is that football, this guy plays this game, and he plays it at an elite level. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. So if you got 1 year, do I think that Ryan Tannehill is a better long-term investment than Tom Brady? Of course I do. Absolutely. Tom Brady's going to be 43 years of age. And with the year that Ryan Tannehill had, of course I don't blame Derrick Henry sensibly coming to the defense of his quarterback right now, who's going to be a free agent and in position and in line to get money. All right, but I want Derrick Henry to get paid first before you even think about paying Ryan Tannehill.
What do we think of that? Stephen A. says he thinks that it says more about Derrick Henry's character than it does Derrick Henry's smarts.
I'm glad I didn't say that. I mean, if I'm Derrick, I think that might offend me. But anyway, I you know, it's everybody's got their opinion. You know, I know what I know.
Well, I think there's two sides to this argument, and it depends on where you sit. And Stephen A. Smith followed that up when talking about the one knock on Tannehill. The one thing that you can always say about Tannehill when it comes to, do you really want this guy over the greatest quarterback of all time? This is what Stephen A. said.
My point is, I think Tennessee, as they proved this playoff season, is knocking on the door. And if you're knocking on the door and you have an opportunity to have Tom Brady as your quarterback with his friend and former teammate Mike Vrabel, who's your head coach, I don't think it's something that you should summarily dismiss. I don't blame him for coming to the defense of Ryan Tannehill. I get that, but I think he should be careful because guess what? We hope that Ryan Tannehill will continue the excellence that he showed us this season. We don't have any evidence that he will. As far as I'm concerned, this year was the first year he showed up and showed us he was a quarterback.
So Stephen A. said, hey, Derrick Henry needs to recognize that this is the first year Ryan Tannehill has been any good, which is the one knock on Tannehill, and you can't disagree with that. That is, you can couch his time in Miami however you'd like, and I blame Adam Gase most, you know. What was that Jimmy Johnson line? He told Jim Wyatt, there's something about Miami, players seem to play good when they leave or something. But he was what he was in Miami. So do we agree with Stephen A. that, let's just say Derek is 100% telling the truth, that Derek likes Ryan Tannehill and that he believes in Tannehill and he wants Tannehill over Brady. Do you think Derek should reevaluate his thoughts on Tannehill just thinking about his performance in Miami?
Well, no. I mean, you know, Derek's making his conclusions based on what he's seen. And he's seen it closer and better than anybody. So I can see why he said what he said. I mean, what's he got? He's
I'm not saying is Derek wrong for saying it. I'm saying is Stephen A. right that Derek Henry needs to fully evaluate the situation here and say, you know, hey, look, Tannehill's only done this for 1 year. And there may be some guys out there who may even make Derrick Henry better than he was than Tannehill.
I don't think that that really matters to him. I mean, I think what matters to him is what he experienced. And he's saying, hey, I'm willing to go with this guy. You know, I mean, there's, you know, that's for GMs and coaches to do. You know, players don't, unless you've played with him somewhere else or unless, you know, there's something notable. Then, you know, you probably don't know a great deal about somebody's career. You know, if you had be, I'd be interested to ask Derek how many catches the little slot receiver had at Tampa. You know, I don't think he'd know.
But my old thing with this is I think that Derek Henry thinks Ryan Tannehill is the best man for the job. And that's where the whole argument goes to is what do you think of Derek Henry's comments? And in my opinion, if you don't like Derrick Henry's comments, it's because you don't think Tannehill's the best man for the job. Not because you have issue with Derrick Henry standing up for his guy.
Oh, no.
It's that you don't think, and I think that's the point Stephen A. is trying to make, is that, hey, like that's a great character thing to stand up for your teammate and for you to say, hey, this is my guy. But at the same time, like, is that really the truth? And I think Stephen A. has a hard time getting there with Ryan Tannehill.
Well, sure. I'm sure there's a lot of guys that do. I mean, that Miami, like you said, was, what, 6 years, 7 years, whatever.
Although,
it was.
You know, we opine on the Miami thing. We talk about the Miami thing. We didn't watch the Miami thing. I mean, seriously, we talk about Tannehill in Miami. We didn't watch Tannehill in Miami. So here we are talking about what we think we know of the 6 years that he had in Miami.
Whoa, now, we watched every game for 10 years.
Whoa, on Tannehill.
One of us probably saw 10 of his 16 games a year.
For 2 years?
For 4 years.
No. Your last year in the league was 2014. That was his second year in the league.
Was 2014? He was drafted in 2013?
He was drafted in 2012. So then that would have been his third year in the league.
Yeah, three. Okay.
Was your last year with the Patriots. Wait a minute. No. Your last year was 2013.
I have no idea.
So you would have only had 2 years, because you weren't on that Super Bowl team 2014. So 2013 was the year they lost to Peyton Manning and the Broncos, and the Seahawks won the Super Bowl. So 2013 was your last year, so you had 2 years in New England where you went up to
my last year there, we lost to the Giants.
Really?
Isn't that it?
Not the Ravens?
In the Super Bowl?
AFC Championship game.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Super Bowl. I don't know.
If the Super Bowl was your last year, if the Super Bowl was your last year, then you never had Tannehill.
No, I've watched Tannehill for years.
So
Watched him because we played him twice a year.
Right.
So, I mean, but that's
the early Tannehill. That's not, I mean, in 2016, 17, I mean, you were watching.
I mean, it's not like I've never seen him.
I know, but it's not like I never saw him either. I saw him throw the bomb to Kenny Stills on Malcolm Butler to beat the Titans. I've seen that. But we didn't like see every game that Tannehill played. And so it's hard for me to sit here.
Well, you think about it. He was there for what, 6 years? He missed 2 years because of injury, so he played for 4 years.
Well, he was there for seven years. He was there for seven. He played for six.
Well, he played 6 years, and he was hurt for two of those. And I saw...
He was hurt for one.
He missed most of 2 years hurt.
He missed 17 with a torn ACL.
ACL.
And he played 11 games in 18.
He came back and hurt the ACL again at the beginning of the year. I can remember the play. He was running out of bounds, and a guy hit him as he ran out of bounds, and that was it.
Yeah, they had to put
He was down for
But he started 11
weeks
games. He started 11 games in that. The season that you say that he missed, he started 11 games.
Well, he missed one whole season.
Right, he missed 2017. Here you go. 16-16, 16-16, 13 in 2016, missed 2017, and 11 in 2018.
So he missed most of 2 years. He missed the end of, what do you say, 14 or 13 in the year before, missed the season, then missed the start of the next one.
No, he played the start.
Finished the end?
Yeah, he got hurt in the middle. Remember, he beat the Titans in the opening week where Mariota hurt his elbow. But I just go back to this. Yeah, we just don't watch enough Tannehill. We did not
watch. I've seen a bunch of Tannehill, is my point. A bunch.
You were the one that was against the change.
I'll bet I have seen, I'm just going to guess. I'll bet I've seen 20 games of his at Miami. Probably more than that, but say 20.
Okay, well, 20 of 88 is still not a lot. Whereas we saw
how many
every,
did you see? You
I'm admitting to not watching it.
That's what I'm saying.
So my point is we've watched every second of 10 games. You've watched, let's just say, 20 of 88. So you've watched roughly 20% of this man's career in Miami. We watched 100% of him in Tennessee. So what we liked the 100% of what we saw. But then we opine on what we really didn't see in Miami, which is what makes it tough. These guys, the Stephen A's, are opining on what they didn't see this year and didn't see the years before that. That's the point I'm trying to make. Remember, I thought Tannehill sucked in Miami. I barely watched. But at least I'm willing to admit that. And then that's why his general manager in Miami is so willing to throw his skin in there for Tannehill. And I think it's because he watched every day of Tannehill and he thinks Tannehill's that good. That's all I'm trying to say.
All right.
But you're going to tell me you got a PhD in Ryan Tannehill now.
Let me say this.
Don't compare it to me. Because I've always said I didn't watch.
Well, that's all my point is. Don't start all of this. Well, we've never seen him crap. Speak for yourself. Speak for I have never seen him because I have seen him. That's
not
my
that
point.
Not as much as you see him here.
We just said I've seen him for 20 games. He's played 10 here. Last time I checked, 20 is bigger than 10.
Right, but what he did 7 years ago is not as important as what he did
you know what?
7 weeks
Again,
ago.
Again, that's not the point. The point was you said we never saw him.
We did not watch.
Don't. It's not we. It's you.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your calls and your texts. But coming up next, what a Hall of Fame player thinks of maybe why Derrick Henry got out there. And something I can't totally say I agree with, but Boston Radio has chimed in on what they think of Derrick Henry's comments about Ryan Tannehill. We'll do that next. Live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Henry's point. Is it driven by loyalty or logic?
Well, self-preservation, in my opinion. He knows that the offense will dramatically change if Tom Brady comes to the Tennessee Titans. That offense has been running through Derrick Henry for a couple of years now, even with Marcus Mariota, because they couldn't throw the ball consistently. They had to run through this big man. And even so with Ryan Tannehill, because you wasn't quite sure what you were going to get in Ryan Tannehill, so you had to rely on this big man. So I think part of it is him saying, what's wrong with the offense running through me, Kyle? You know, we've ran the ball effectively all year. We dominated people running the football. We got a great offensive line, one of the top, probably top five in the National Football League. So why do we need Tom Brady?
That was Hall of Famer LaDainian Tomlinson on Derrick Henry's comments. What do we think of that? We touched on this a little bit. I don't think Derrick Henry is that worried about the game plan, regardless of who the quarterback is.
No, I mean, he's you know, he's maybe talking about his teammate. He wants his teammate back.
Maybe Derrick has me fooled.
I understand that completely.
Maybe Derrick Henry has me fooled. I don't think Derrick cares how much he gets the ball as long as they win the game.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he wants the ball. But, I mean, in his mind, those two go hand in hand. So that's fine, too.
But do you think Derrick thinks that if Tom Brady comes in here, he'll get the ball less and therefore wouldn't want Tom Brady in here?
Oh, no.
I still think he thinks he'd be getting the ball plenty.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care. I mean, he's not going that far. You know, he's thinking about winning. When it comes to this, whoever this is, he's thinking about winning. And he's thinking about what kind of guy is he.
So I said to Ian today, I said, how crazy is it? What would you have said if I'd come up to you and said, when they traded for Tannehill, in 11 months, we're going to be spending an entire month on whether or not you want Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady. And we all had a good chuckle about that. Well, apparently, our poll has, you know, the Nashville, I'm guessing the people that follow me on Twitter and follow our radio station are Nashville sports fans. And the Nashville fans, 65% to 35% want Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. What do you think they think in Boston? And so Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub, a caller called into Felger and Maz and brought up Derrick Henry's comments about Tom Brady. And this is what they said about Henry's comments.
Competitively, he doesn't want to be left holding the bag the same way that Robert Kraft doesn't want to be left holding the bag. You know, he's the greatest quarterback ever, but when's it going to run out? And, you know, I think that's a perfect example. Derrick Henry does not want Tom Brady on that team to be most competitive next season.
Okay. Do you believe that?
No.
No. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, the whole thing's fluid right now, so it may be looking like Tannehill's probably going to be back there. So you got to say good things about Ryan Tannehill if he's going to be your quarterback next season.
So that's one. Right, because he shared a locker room with him and might have to again.
Yep.
And number two is Brady's going to cost more and Henry wants to be paid.
Right.
So there's, I wouldn't rule out that element.
And maybe they're throwing more with Tom Brady's there and Henry's getting the ball less.
Right, or they let him go. Like, I don't know, maybe that's good for him, but, you know.
But if Henry really wants Tannehill over Brady, he's a freaking loser.
Yeah, no, I mean, what a huge mistake.
And I don't think he is. So hopefully, you know, for his sake, he's just defending a teammate.
What do you think of that? If he wants Tannehill over Brady, he's a freaking loser, and I don't think he is, so maybe he's just defending a teammate.
Yeah. I think he's right to a certain extent, the way they're looking at it, you know, which is, yeah, he's their teammate. He's going to be on his teammate's side.
Well, and I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, that was kind of Stephen A's gist, right? Like, I think this was Derrick Henry's character over Derrick Henry's smarts when talking about what Derrick Henry said. I'll say this, though. I mean, I think in Boston, they probably think the idea of wanting Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady is just unbelievable and unfathomable. And how could you ever want? I mean, this is Tom Brady, and how could you want Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady? And I think there's still a lot of people that feel that way. I'm not saying how I feel on this. I mean, I'll tell you, the biggest trump card in all this for me is that you control the situation with Tannehill, and you don't risk. There's no risk involved. Well, I shouldn't say there's no risk involved, but there's no risk of you losing Tannehill if you decide you want Tannehill. If you decide you want Brady, there's not only the risk that you don't get Brady, you might lose Tannehill and not get Brady, and now you're stuck with Andy Dalton at quarterback next year, or you're stuck with Jameis Winston at quarterback, or you're stuck with some guy who stinks at quarterback next year. And that, to me, is not acceptable in this situation.
And John and Mike know what's going on in New England, you know, so they're not going to be fooled by any of that. And so I think they...
What do you mean by that? What do you mean by John and Mike know what's going on at New England?
Well, I mean, I've told you before, they, you know, they do this all the time. Hey, go out and see what you can get. See how much is there. Come back, let us know, and we'll match it. Okay, fine. I mean, so they're not gonna play that game.
But do you think that's the game that's being played here? We had Jeff Darlington on earlier today, and Jeff, and remember Fitz yesterday. Like, maybe Fitz is Bristol brainwashed. I don't know. I think Fitz is legitimately convinced, and Darlington's convinced, and Darlington's close to the Brady camp, and I think that they are legitimately convinced Tom's going to free agency. That Tom's going to free agency, and this is not that. And that Bill will have to prove to Tom, when they're going through this, that this is the best option for Tom is to go back to the Patriots. That's what the national belief is. I'm not saying that's my belief, but that's what the national belief is. I mean, there's a chance that's true.
Sure. Absolutely.
So if that's the case, then John and Mike wouldn't know what's going on with this.
Okay. Which one you want to believe?
What do you mean?
I don't. I mean, you know what? You can make anything you want to out of this thing. I mean, you can go from he's leaving. He hates Bill. You know, they've been battling forever. No, it's not that. It's he wants to win a Super Bowl on his own so he can prove that he's the greatest of all time without Bill Belichick. That's another argument you hear.
Which I mean, I don't believe that, but that's surely
all outside. Of these arguments are so ridiculous. And they seem to think that you get to be the greatest of all time by doing stuff like that. And that's the sad part. And you know what? That is the selfish way people look at it, which is you can't become the greatest of all time if you're a great teammate. You can't become the greatest of all time if you're all working together. You know, you've got to be on your own. You've got to be taking care of number one. You've got to be worried about only you to become the greatest of all time. And so people, you know, get all this and they go, yeah.
But that doesn't mean just because of that Brady's a good teammate. And that, like, I think the Brady and Belichick not liking stuff is totally overblown. In fact, I think it's almost borderline fabricated. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that if Tom hits free agency, Tom thinks that his best chance to win the Super Bowl is still with the Patriots. Like the one thing that you're doing with this that is reminds me a lot of is the Mike Mularkey thing, where you had me convinced there was no way they were going to fire that man. I mean, it was coming out. If the Titans lose to Jacksonville, Mularkey's getting
and
fired.
What happened?
If the Titans lose to Kansas City,
and
they're
what
getting
happened?
Fired.
And what happened?
They fired him.
Why? Why?
I don't know.
You don't know.
There's a narrative out there.
You don't know.
But I'm not convinced the narrative is 100%.
Okay, and what is the narrative?
The narrative is the Titans want to make a change in offensive coordinator, and Mularkey didn't want to be told what to do with his coaching staff. That's the narrative. But I'm not sure that that's true. I have been told that it may not be 100% true. So again, you can believe whatever you want, but I go back to the fact that I felt like an idiot because you kept telling me they will not fire this man. And so I believed it and then they fired him. And this is starting to become eerily similar to this where you are like, Tom's not going anywhere.
All right. I won't talk about it anymore.
No,
Tom is going to be here. Tom will be here. He will be the coach of the Titans. Get excited.
Quarterback.
Get thrilled about that. He'll be the quarterback for the Titans. And Tannehill's got to go take a hike. And we're done. So we're good. Good? Are we good now?
No, but it just...
I don't. You know what? You cannot ask me my opinion and mock me for my opinion.
I'm not mocking you for it.
You cannot do that.
I'm not mocking you for it.
Because guess what? I will not give you my opinion.
I know. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is it feels like...
Let me say this. You pretend like you know things or don't know things when they're convenient for you. And all I wanted to say, hey, I told you what I thought. I told you what I believed. It turned out that way. And now you're going the other way on me. And that's fine. I know you got a little bit of that in you. And that's all well and good. But I don't have to play that game.
No, the
so
thing I'm
you
saying...
you play that game
that's
on
not
your
the game
own.
The game I'm playing is, are you at least open to the idea that maybe Brady wants to go
yes,
somewhere else?
I think so. I think he's on the road. I mean, I think he's going. All right. What's next? We got another topic here.
No, it's the number one topic. It's the number one topic in the country right now. We are not going to talk college basketball. We're not that show. We are not going to talk about things nobody cares about, which college basketball this season is just that. So this is the number one topic. And I still think, even though I agree, I think Brady stays in New England because I just think it's so difficult to uproot your entire career like a giant tree that has grown into the ground and take the tree out and go plant the tree in Vegas for 2 years is just too difficult on a team that sucks. I can't see it. But I'm still like when everybody in the world is telling me Tom wants to entertain being a free agent, there's a real chance Tom leaves. I'm just not going to shut myself off to the possibility that I might not be right in my own opinion. That's all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Now, Crispy's going to join us next. We'll get his thoughts about what the Predators need to do at the deadline. Should they trade? Should they buy? Should they stand pat? We'll get into all of that with Crispy coming up next. Jared of the GM, CSPN, 102.5 The Game. Jared of the GM, Predators on the road tomorrow at Chicago. I would say it's a must-win game, but we've only had about 55 must-win games in the last 3 weeks, and sometimes they win them, sometimes they don't. So if they don't win them and they're still in the playoff picture after they don't win them, they must not be those must-wins. But it kind of feels like the nitty-gritty and the trade deadline is coming up. And what are the Predators going to do? We don't know. Terry Crisp joins us, presented by the Highland Group. Crispy, let's start you with this one. What did you think of all the positive that was built up over the weekend and then how that was affected by the loss Tuesday night?
You know what? The best way I can describe it is when that game was over and Lindsay and I were sitting on our desk, at our desk on the concourse, and we were waiting to do our wind-up and our closed down ending. The fans walking by us were probably, I thought I would be probably the most irritated and most agitated of all, but our fans were sort of in a daze thinking exactly what we were thinking. What just happened? Where did that team go that had just knocked off back-to-back Stanley Cup champion team twice in back-to-backs and then showed up and gave this performance? And, you know, Jared, GM, I'm still mystified as to what this team, you know, it's a little late in the season, but now I got to go back to that old phrase I hate. I just hate it. What is our identity? You have to have an identity for your hockey club. And right now, fellas, I got to admit I'm mystified.
Crispy, we said this yesterday. I think this is what they are. Where they'll win a couple of games, and then they'll just throw out a stinker, and they'll lose. And it does not matter if I'm the coach, you're the coach, John Hines is the coach, Peter Laviolette's the coach. And I'm not taking a shot at Hines when I say that. It's just this is what they are. Some games they play great. Some games I thought Saturday, I thought they played great. Sunday, I thought, you know, they played hard. I don't think they played all that well, but Pekka-Rinne stole it, and then I just didn't think they played well last night. Or the other night, even though they tried hard. I just think this is who they are. And that's what we've seen all year.
You know what's scary? I shouldn't say scary. It's sort of agitating in a form is the fact that you just said it in a phrase. If Pekka-Rinne and Saros don't play out of their skulls and play unbelievable hockey games, our chances of winning are pretty slim. And that's getting to be sort of a cross that we can't carry anymore. They need some help. We got to score some goals at the other end. We got to start to finish off our offense, which we keep saying we have in our lineup. We get breakaways, and when you're one of your major players, Philip Forsberg, gets two breakaways, and we get nothing out of it. That starts to scare you that we're not getting it. But you can't keep, and everybody keeps pointing the finger at Pekka or so. You can't. No, it's not our goaltending. It's our guys that it's their mindset. I don't know what the mindset is anymore.
Crispy, along those lines, and I often wonder this when I see things like this, you know, you go through when Peter was here, they were going to, you know, we're going to trade and we're going to get a big boy forward and we're going to become more offensive oriented and we're going to, you know, change defense a little bit and do those things. And then you do that for a while and then boom, you know, things happen. The coach is gone. Now you've got a new coach in here with a new program and more changes, you know, on top of the ones that maybe you hadn't fully become accustomed to. And like you said, you're kind of caught in a stew of, you know, which one am I? Which one am I? Which, you know, yeah. Should I be playing offense or defense or doing what?
Exactly. You know, it was probably, I feel not sad, but can feel for him as Coach Hines, because he came in here on a thing that he knew what he was getting into, and you all want to be a head coach in NHL. Of course, you don't turn down a job, but and he had to make it, and he's been trying. I mean, it's not that he isn't afraid to try things, but it just, I don't know what the guys, like he sat, you know, the three guys, that no big mystery. I've done that many times with my guns, sat them out and whatnot. Worked for one game, and then you look at your lines, and we said, oh, well, you got Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. They're your number one line. Duchesne's coming in. Will he become the number one centerman? Will he become a top number two centerman? And then we got Turris coming in, and is he going to push and become a top-notch center? And all the things we had going, and suddenly they haven't evolved the way we wanted. Now, suddenly, Coach Hines has to start trying to find the combinations. And this is no time of the year that a coach should have to be looking around to find combinations for his lines or find combinations for a defense core or trying to figure out who he should sit out on the defense core to make things better back there and go on down the line. This is not the time of year you want that. But unfortunately for us and for Coach Hines and his staff, that's exactly what he's trying to do. And with all of this, win the games at the same time.
And
that's a big mountain.
I'm curious, too, because we've been kind of – I mean, everybody knows that there are some of the players on the first and second line that we – that should be playing better for us. I think everybody kind of recognizes that. But how much of that can be kind of the same thing? I mean, when you're a great player and you get to a place, things are kind of molded to you. You know, we're going to help you be the great player that you're going to be. And I think we've probably had a number of guys that had a little bit of that done for them. Well, now all of a sudden that's changed again. How much of all of that, maybe a guy that's been used to doing one thing for 2 or 3 years, all of a sudden has a new system and what he's done is maybe not quite the same.
And you know what? That is sort of human nature when you start saying, well, we did this. But no, they're professionals. They've all played hockey, and the systems don't vary that much. There's not a whole lot of difference in the systems. Believe me, there's not. I love Skillsy, Hal Gill, when you listen to him talk. He says, okay, you're going to play man-on-man defense, or you're going to play zone defense. Well, there's only two systems, man-on-man or zone. They're not hard to pick up. It's not like a playbook in football where you got 114 plays you got to figure out. It's not rocket science, for crying out loud. So I'm throwing that one out the window. I'm ticked off at hearing that. These guys, if they can't pick it up in one practice or two practices, what man-on-man is or what zone coverage is, then there's something dreadfully wrong. Let's throw that out the window. The other night, and I'm going to go right back to this and put the onus on the players. One-on-one battles. Carolina comes in here. They're not a big physical team. They're fast. They're young. And they're desperate. We knew that. That was no secret coming in. We'd done our homework on that team there. They must have won every one-on-one battle almost in the corners, in the front of the net, and where it counted. And that's probably what irritated me more than anything is that we have a team here of guys that could compete and should compete on those one-on-one battles. And that's where I think we got to get down into the trenches now. We're at the time now where we can't look for any more excuses or anything else going wrong. It's the one-on-one battles now. Are we going to win the battles in our corner, in our zone? Are we going to win the battle when that puck comes around the boards in our zone and we get it out, but we don't? They keep it in. Now we all start a fire drill. I'm just thinking right now, I want to see individuals, one-on-one battles start to make it happen.
Terry Crisp with us, presented by the Highland Group. Last one for you, Crispy. I'm not going to ask you, should the Preds be buyers, sellers, or stand pat at the deadline, but if you were the coach of this team, what would you want David Poile to do?
Give me a 5-year contract.
Good call.
GM, put that down in your book.
Yeah, I got that.
You know what? There's not a whole lot you can do. Everybody has it. You know what, Jared? Everybody says, make a trade. Get this. You know, I learned as being a coach and the GM that it takes two to make a trade. Both GMs have to agree and do it. You can't just – everybody has a wish list we could do. And right now, I can't give you an honest answer. Obviously, if I was looking – I would try and improve our team and take a run at the playoff spot at it and try and make it do it. But I'm not sure how you would do that. The GM could probably tell you better than me what he'd look at now to bolster this team. But I just say for our fans taking that, I'd say, you know what, we're going to make playoffs. So let's make a move that might bolster us, get us whatever they think they need, the coaching staff and David Poile and his staff.
Crispy, as always, the pleasure was all ours. We look forward to seeing you out at the rink with all these home games coming up.
Thanks, Crispy.
All right, guys. Thanks, Eric. Always my pleasure. And remember, tell our fans we're still the best fans in hockey. Stay with us because hopefully we'll get this thing turned around for them.
True story. Terry Crisp, as always, presented by the Highland Group, joining us here on the show. Speaking about the Preds fans, remember the guy? I'm apparently hearing that a lot of Philly fans are trying. There's a Saturday night game in March, like I think the 21st or something like that, and the Philly fans are trying to grab a hold of all these Preds tickets, and they're trying to do what they did for the Titans game. I think they had such a good time when they came in here, and the Titans kicked that ass, but I think they're trying to do what they did with the Titans game. Remember when we were on the rooftop at Nashville Underground, we saw General Jackson boat full of them.
Yeah.
So I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to buy up all the tickets for the Preds and the Flyers game. So what the Predators have done is the Predators are not going to let all the Philly fans buy up all the flights or buy up all the tickets. So what they're encouraging fans to do is if you're going to not go to that game, that season ticket holders can let their unsold tickets, exchange them at the Preds ticket exchange on Ticketmaster where you can verified resale. You can sell them back to the Predators. The Predators will buy them back using the buyback program. And as I was told by somebody, just remember, Philadelphia is the franchise that tried to bankrupt the Predators with that Shea Weber offer sheet. So always remember that. And I told him, I said, look, Floyd and I hate Carson Wentz, so I think there's a lot to that as far as Philly. But again, that game, Philly's trying to buy up all the tickets. So again, if you're not going to go, if you're a season ticket holder, what you need to do, the Predators will buy those tickets back, talk to your rep about that, or sell them on the Predators Ticketmaster verified resale, whatever it's called. But do that as opposed to just selling them on the street or something like that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. I'm not shocked. I'll take that back. I am shocked by how these fans feel about Ryan Tannehill. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
I think Tannehill was clearly better than Brady this year. And I think next year the gap will widen as Tannehill's now played in this system for a year, he's kind of made his bones, and Brady's 1 year older.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Brady didn't have any help, and it's blasphemy to sit up there and denigrate him in any way considering how he was bereft of weapons. If he had better weapons to throw the damn football to, he would have had better results.
After week 7, Tannehill did have better numbers, and of course, Vrabel and Brady won 3 Super Bowls together.
That was First Take this morning, talking about Tannehill and Brady, and I figured out this is all about what side of the table you sit on. You can sit on, if you're pro-Brady, in the Brady Tannehill discussion, you could say he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived, won 6 Super Bowls. I mean, the reason the offense stunk last year wasn't because of him. It was Jacoby Myers. It was N'Keal Harry. It was Matthew Lacoste, Benjamin Watson, the hurt Julian Edelman. It wasn't Brady. And then if you're arguing against Tannehill, you can say, I mean, Tannehill stunk in Miami. What are we sitting here saying Ryan Tannehill's the so on and so forth? But I am convinced this is a bigger story around the country. You've got the Mike Greenbergs, the Colin Cowherds, the Stephen A. Smiths, Adam Schefter. And like everybody's talking about this story and the idea of Brady's interested in the Titans and that Brady and the Titans would make sense and that this would fit. And we had Jeff Darlington on today from ESPN, and Jeff Darlington said that the Titans will get an audience. They will get an audience for Tom Brady, and that's great. Poll on Twitter. At Jared Stillman, who would you rather have quarterback the Titans in 2020? So these are Titan fans. Tannehill 65%, Brady 35% final results.
Wow.
I think the fans here hear that, and they're like, no, we're good with Tannehill. And I think some of that is because I think the fans here are skeptical that Brady would come. And I think the other part of that is I think the fans here, even though it was only 10 regular season games and 3 postseason games, I think the fans here believe in Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, and I think we saw the same thing happen with the players. But, I mean, as the team kind of progressed and everybody started playing better and everybody, his leadership took over, I think that even happened with the public. I think his leadership kind of took over and people could sense that they were playing better, things were going better, all the good things. So so I'm not surprised that they wouldn't. I mean, you know, Nashville's a pretty loyal place. If you're a hometown guy, they're probably going to, you know, root for you. So I could see why that would not surprise me.
So in the early 2000s, I always used to argue for Steve McNair over Peyton Manning, even though, like, you knew Peyton got all the attention nationally, and Peyton was always, you know, the starter in the Pro Bowl, and Peyton was this and that. And I always used to be like, hey, my guy wins games. My guy puts the team on his back and wins games. And so I think that always comes naturally when you're a fan, except in this case, I don't know how I would have felt if it was, hey, you can dump McNair and get Manning. You know, like if that question had been posed to me when I was young, would I have really been like, hey, that's my guy? Or would I have said, no, let's go get Peyton Manning? Even as I get into this job more, I feel like I'm more of the sense of, like, more realistic. Like, I want to trade Mekhi Granlund, trade Craig Smith, trade all those guys at the Predators, just because I think they'd be better off trading them. But as far as this, I'm convinced Tannehill's the better option. If for no other reason than the fact that you control it because you've got the tag. You can't control what Brady wants to do. If Brady's willing, there's a lot of people that think this Brady to the Raiders thing is real. I think it's all crap because I think the Raiders suck and Brady knows it. And I don't think Brady wants any part of moving to Vegas. And because, number one, they stink. And their defense stinks and their weapons stink. And the only thing that wouldn't stink about them is him. And that's it. But a lot of people are kind of buying in on that. But if I'm competing with the Raiders, like, there's a chance he picks the Raiders. And so now I've lost Ryan Tannehill and Tom Brady's going to the Raiders. Like, whoa, now I didn't sign up for that.
Well, I'm going to guess that the Raiders will not hesitate to pay him whatever.
Oh, it's already out there. They're going to offer him $30 million a year.
Whatever they can pay him.
And I bet you they fully guarantee it too. If they go 2 years, $60 million in Oakland, they will fully guarantee it for Brady, if for no other reason to sell tickets. And I know that shouldn't play a big role in a decision like this, but they're paying the coach $100 million. They're moving into a billion-dollar stadium. You cannot tell me that Mark Davis wants to open up with it looking like a baseball stadium where there's nobody in there when they open up that brand-new billion-dollar facility.
And it's going to be, you know, somebody told me all the PSLs were sold. I mean, that place is already, you know, sounds like it's going to be rocking. So, you know, if you can go in there and you've got a quarterback like Brady, that's probably as good as they could ever hope for.
Oh, one of my buddies played a show out in Vegas and took a picture of the stadium site and showed me the stadium site. I mean, it looks nice now. I mean, I was really hoping that the last week of the year, Oakland would beat Denver. Oakland would then finish second in the AFC West, so the Titans would be going out to Vegas this year. Instead, Denver won the game, and now the Titans have to go out to Denver, which, A, we know the Titans stink in Denver every time they go out there, and B, even though Denver's a great place, like, I'm not going to miss the pregame show to go visit Denver on the road, whereas I probably would have left it up to, you know, probably Chase. It'd be you, Chris, and Chase doing the pregame show because Jared's out in Vegas at the Titan-Raider game, but I want to see that stadium, and so I was a little disappointed the Titans didn't do it. But at the same time, I think the Raiders stink. I think the franchise stinks. I think the coach stinks. I think the Raiders. But if he goes to the Raiders, then now you have no quarterback.
Well, I talked recently with somebody that went out there, and I guess the new facility that the Raiders are building, or whoever's building it for the Raiders, is phenomenal. I mean, it's got the largest indoor facility in the NFL. It's got the largest weight room in the NFL. It's got the, you know, the biggest and the bestest of whatever. I guess it's really special.
Right, but is that going to get Tom Brady to want to go there? I highly doubt it. But at the same time, you still run the risk that if Brady does a free agency tour and you're trying to get in on the free agency tour, you run the risk that Brady picks Oakland. Or, I guess, Vegas. That Brady picks Vegas, and now you're screwed. And that's the number one reason to pick Tannehill. The other thing is, I believe in Tannehill. I do. I mean, a lot of people are trying to make this about, why would Derrick Henry say what Derrick Henry said? And you heard Stephen A. say, that's his character. Or the guys in Boston, oh, he's just being a good teammate. Or people have said, well, he wants the ball more. Or Tom's going to cost more money, so he wants more money. And I would just say it like this. I think Derrick Henry thinks they can win with Tannehill, and that's why Derrick Henry said it. That Derrick Henry, like the 65% of people on Twitter, you know, my Twitter, that would rather have Ryan Tannehill than Tom Brady, Derrick Henry thinks, what are you people complaining about? I've got Ryan Tannehill's good. And he saw Ryan Tannehill, and the one time he saw Ryan Tannehill, he was the leading passer in the NFL.
And he's not the only one that thinks that. I mean, I think they've got a whole team of guys that think that. And a staff of coaches that probably think the same thing. So, you know, that's probably a, you know, pretty common thought among those guys.
Are you surprised?
And it should be.
Are you surprised though that the fans are so overwhelmingly in support of Tannehill over Brady?
Maybe the percentage wise, I'm not surprised that they would rather have Tannehill, but that's a pretty good chunk.
To double up on him like that? Yeah. You know, go 65-35?
That's a big old chunk.
Texter, theory. If Brady does come on, say, on a one-year deal, you're taking a shot with one of the greatest of all time. While Tannehill, on the other hand, had a good resurgence, but let's not kid ourselves, we saw him in Miami. So, do you choose Brady, and if it doesn't pan out, you potentially will be in the running for Trevor Lawrence? From a longevity standpoint, I would take Trevor Lawrence over Ryan Tannehill. I don't think you have any shot at Trevor Lawrence if either Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill is your starting quarterback.
I hope not.
Again, the idea of tanking for a quarterback, I mean, Indianapolis didn't do it on purpose to get Andrew Luck, but it did happen.
Wow.
Did they really get the bang for their buck with Andrew Luck?
No, they didn't get the longevity.
I mean, the releasing of Peyton Manning was, this isn't about Peyton, this is about the idea of winning championships with Andrew Luck. And they didn't win one championship. In fact, the furthest the Colts got in Andrew Luck's tenure is the AFC title game, which just happens to be the furthest you got with Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, you're that's never going to happen. You know, that we don't want that to happen. Trevor Lawrence, you know, sweepstakes has got to be between a bunch of other teams. Forget the Titans. Hopefully we're past all that. Been there, done that. Let's get on.
Matt on Twitter says, can Tannehill win you a Super Bowl? Maybe. Can Brady win you a Super Bowl? Absolutely, yes. What do you think of that?
I mean, Brady, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I would agree 1,000%. The question is, can you do it at 43? That's the question. And people always want to bring up Peyton. And
Peyton wasn't 43, though.
Why. But they have to understand that Peyton, that may have been the worst year of Peyton's career.
Couldn't throw.
I mean, it was not good. But the rest of Denver's team, especially their defense, was off the charts, and that made all the difference in the world.
Let's load it up. Ask the GM, 615-737-1025, calls and texts, although generally speaking, I'm better at getting to the calls than I am the text. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM, presented by Tracy Langston Ford and Pella Windows and Doors. 615-737-1025. The best call or text for the GM will win a pair of tickets to see Collective Soul at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, March 2nd. That's 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Ask the GM is next. Let me tell you that Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Did you know that Hiller averages a 4.8 out of 5-star rating on over 15,000 online reviews? True. Did you know that I use Hiller at my home? True. And I love them. Did you know that Hiller is a proud supporter of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers? That's also true. They support our local teams. And did you know that through the month of February, if you've got a faulty HVAC unit or you're thinking about changing it up, Hiller has extended their promotion until the end of the month from the 29th. So when you buy a new HVAC unit, Hiller will pay your heating bills all year long. That's up to $1,200 worth of savings. Do not wait to schedule. Be like me, Hiller. It's so simple. Just be like me. You go to happyhiller.com. You get it all taken care of there. Hiller, happyhiller.com. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Up to $1,200 in savings with a new HVAC unit from my friends at Hiller.